Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion!
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Berry. And we're still with Arizona, as much as we can be. We have not entered any kind of transfer portal. We are not soliciting offers from elsewhere. Like, we are part of different networks now, but we're still here.
Like, I mean,
we're part of the College Huddle Network, but, you know, we're still here.
Every time I get a spam call from a 206 area code, Adam, I... kind of hoping it's an unreasonable NIL offer from Jed Fish.
To take like your whatever athletic ability you have left as a now 40-year-old or take our podcast?
Hey, I am 6'5". I've got long arms. I'm mildly athletic for the average person.
So definitely the podcast.
Well, I'm just saying I'm available with immediate eligibility, Adam.
That's a threat, isn't it, for Jed Fish?
I mean, he's got to fill his roster out somehow.
That's true. Well, Brett, there has been some portal and just like player movement news for football and basketball. Which one should we start with?
Let's do football.
All right. Let's see where to start. Arizona picked up a JUCO safety, Marquise Brown. That's cool. DJ Warnauer entered the portal, but has still been practicing with the team.
The JUCO safety looks pretty good, by the way, at least from the little I know about him. He looks good measurables, good film.
Yeah, sure. Picked up a long snapper from Ohio, Justin Holloway.
Lost a long snapper.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to that. It's been a lot has happened, Brett. Joe Borjon entered the portal. Bill Norton entered the portal, ended up at Texas. Will Ulrich ended up in the portal. Cameron Hawkins, the other long snapper, entered the portal. Arizona, they got a commitment from San Jose State quarterback Anthony Garcia via the portal and former San Jose State tight end Sam Olson. So I think that's everything for like this portal window.
I think that's right. I'm trying to piece it together with all the movement. Did we also get, it's not portal related, but was the high school tight end commit since our last pod? I'm struggling to recall.
It definitely was since the last pod. Yeah.
I mean, another nice commit. Obviously tight ends are a thing.
And like Damian Martinez visited Arizona officially, like transfer option from Oregon State. So I mean,
you have my attention, Brett Brennan.
It's, you know, I feel like, I mean, there was a lot of fear with this portal window, right? The spring portal. And like, I think I saw our last show, like the thing that I wanted for Arizona's players to do, like the football players, when the coaching change happened, and obviously I wanted them all to stick around, but hey, I understood if they went to the portal, if they left, it's not the coaching staff they signed up to play for, even if it is the same school. But you wanted them to give this coaching staff a chance. That was the hope. Like, that's all you could hope for at that point. It's like, hey, you don't know these coaches. They seem like good people. Give them a chance to show you their plan for you, what style of offense, what changes they're going to make, and how they can mold you into the person and player you want to be. And if you don't like what you see, if you don't like what you're getting, all right, there's a spring portal, enter it, and best of luck to you. You know, totally cool if that was to happen because they gave them a chance. And I think the fear was that during the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, 4 months, that players would find things they didn't like, or they would back-channeled, get some really good offers. Maybe certain coaches in Washington, for example, we're going to keep in touch with them, trying to, you know, pry them away still. And there'd be this exodus of players from Arizona. Guys who we were pretty excited that they were able to keep would end up leaving anyway, as would be their right. The portal is still open. It's not closing yet. You know, not until the end of the month, the end of April. But so far, they haven't really seen anyone that's like a true starter impact player. Like Bill Norton leaving, that stinks. But he's following his old defensive coordinator out of Texas, and it seems like from reports he wasn't even running with the ones or twos anymore. So he just probably didn't fit this defense. That's the example of they don't like the plan that's in place for them. They don't see it with this roster, with this coaching staff. Then you leave. Cool. I respect that. So knowing that there's still time as we record on April 23rd for players to announce their departures, so far it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah, for all the comings and goings, the biggest news is the guys who haven't entered, right?
Which, no, until they've entered, they haven't entered. There's no reason to think they will, but they could.
Are you listening, Jed Fish? Just be, but even guys that have entered, Takario Davis, and never come out, seem to be happy at Arizona. So it's like a relatively minimal news is good news,
certainly.
I think, so far. And then, you know, the Bill Norton thing, like there's no world in which losing Bill Norton is a good thing for Arizona.
No.
But also, like, if you, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, wish casting or, you know, just backfilling the argument of, like, your point of, like, he may not be the right fit. I mean, from everything that the new defensive line coach was saying in interviews and what Dwayne Akeen has been saying in their scheme, it's more about attacking and not, you know, controlling and negating your gaps. And Bill Norton is elite at
space
the
eater, yeah,
and not as much as at the former, right? And so, you know, I am not going to bemoan a guy for going with his old defensive coordinator that has the scheme that he is a perfect fit for, get a bag, and then hope to make it in the NFL. I wish him well. I think so far for Arizona, you know, I think it's, you know, we talked to Brian Peterson. Was that just last week or was that multiple weeks ago? I can't.
It was our last show. Let's not put time frames on our last show.
Wow. I'm getting subtweeted in live recording with my co-host. you know, he would tell us that by the, I asked him and he said by the end of this, is Arizona going to be in a net positive or net negative? And I don't know if you can say they're in the net positive as of yet. I think Bill Norton is the biggest loss. I think Joe Borjon is a loss, but replaceable. You know, he didn't look great in the Alamo Bowl, right? Like, but he's a big body with upside. And then if Arizona's able to pull a Damian Martinez or somebody that's even like a half step lower on the, you know, the pecking order, that's a big win. Also, I think we forgot and neglected to say the New Mexico transfer running back.
Bill?
No.
Yeah, he went by Bill. I never understood that. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. Yeah, he went by Bill.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, no. It's, but, I mean, he never actually made it to campus, so he changed his mind and whatever.
Yeah, can you ever miss what you didn't have, Adam?
Ask Arizona's recruiting class from this season, maybe. Yeah. But I think you're right. Like right now, it's not a negative. And for a team that won 10 games, and granted, they lost some players, right, to the NFL and a couple to the portal, but they won 10 games last season with a team that had some pretty good young depth still behind the starters. Not losing guys is at worst neutral. Because like this isn't like Arizona's coming off a 3-1 team where they have to get so much better. They have to have this influx of talent like they did 2 years ago, where you have to get yourself a new starting quarterback, a star receiver, you know, a couple receivers, defensive linemen, right? Like they're not in that place right now. Like you always need to get better through attrition, through the portal. You're going to lose guys, and if you want to maintain what you have to keep adding talent. But this is not a team that if they don't lose too much from last year's team, unexpectedly anyway, then they don't have to add elite players at every position. They're not adding starters everywhere. They definitely need more depth. And there's positions like they need to find a second cornerback, right, and maybe a third because of Trayden Stukes. You know, they need to find defensive back or cornerbacks. They need to find defensive line depth. They probably need to find more offensive linemen. But otherwise, like, yeah, if you get a Damian Martinez, oh, boy, that's a win. I mean, that's a win of an offseason. And, you know, the portal's open. We're going to talk with Matt Moreno a bit later from Rivals Network, who covers West Coast recruiting, how it's like just because a player hasn't landed anywhere, if they're in the portal by the time the portal closes, they can still go anywhere. Like Arizona last couple of years picked up late recruits, like late commitments in the transfer portal. Taylor Upshaw last season, one of them. I think DJ Williams the year before, just a couple of them. So just because they're not picking him up this week or next week doesn't mean they're not going to add talent. And at some point when the dust starts to settle for a lot of these players, when Arizona has scholarships, maybe a decent NIL, and a chance to win some games, which they would have to offer, so I'm like, you know what? That's the place for me. So Arizona, if they don't lose guys, it's at worst neutral, but probably it's probably positive for them because they keep developing the talent they already had, which was pretty dang good. But then if they can add some talent, some high-end talent, like a Damian Martinez, or I know there's a, I think there was a receiver from Auburn who's supposed to be like a small, fast guy that they had on campus last week. And just, there's a lot of players in the portal who Arizona will probably have a chance to get when it's all said and done. And as long as they're using those guys to supplement the roster they already have, they're in great shape. You know, like, yes, they need to find a couple of starters, but if they can just add to what they already have, it's going to be a damn good team once again.
Well, and I think we've talked about this a few times on this pod, where even if you take the guys they lost to the NFL, to graduation, and now even to the transfer portal, for all of the chaos of this offseason, it is roughly an average graduating class for most rosters. They had so few seniors, right? Like, this is now like a normal graduating class in terms of guys you need to replace and sheer number of bodies, right?
It's abnormal for Arizona to be sending so many to the NFL.
Yeah, but in a weird way, like, there's a higher percentage of this roster coming back than most top 10-ish teams,
yeah.
Right? Because they had so few seniors, and they've so thus far, and also it's, you know, that's obviously subject to change, you know, they didn't lose T-Mac. They didn't lose Noah Fifita. They did, you know, they
have their quarterback. And if you have a star quarterback, you have a chance in pretty much everywhere else. Most of their offensive line is back. They lose their left tackle. But if they keep everyone else, okay.
Yeah. Every one of the other starters so far is staying. And there were some young guys at tackle that were intriguing that so far have stayed. Like, mm-hmm. This is like the makings of a team that, you know, you might not capitalize. It's a different thing today where, you know, last time Arizona had a 10-win season, it was a disappointing Rich Rod recruiting class for high school, but that was before the transfer portal madness, NIL madness. And, you know, for better or worse, let's just blame that on Rich Rod not recruiting or caring as much about, because he was maybe trying to get to South Carolina or back to the East Coast. Let's just stipulate that.
Sure, why not?
This is a different thing in that it's a different era, and you had a coaching staff change. You have a coach that departed that, shall we say, has a large open wallet and open roster, plenty of playing time available at the national title runner-up. And Arizona's retained most of its roster, only has net lost, you know, like, the equivalent of a normal graduating class.
Well, I think, yeah, most good football programs don't return everybody. They lose key guys. Like, you think of the former coach of the team he's taken over in Washington, they lost most of the roster, especially offensively, that got them to the national championship game. Whereas, yeah, you don't usually return your quarterback, your top receivers, your entire offensive line, your running backs. You lose players just to the NFL, even without the transfer portal. Right? Like, every 4 years, 5 years, you're replacing guys. So the fact that Arizona has to replace a handful of players, that's usually what happens with good teams, or when you pay attention, right? It's the difference is that Arizona fans care about who's gone, because you lost a left tackle who's going to be a first or second round pick in the NFL draft. You lost a receiver who set the record, a school record for touchdowns in a season, who's going to be a day two NFL draft pick probably. You know, you lost your starting running back who just torched ASU the last two seasons. You know, like, you lost key guys, and that's different than just, oh yeah, that was a third string guy who's, you know, not his. His football days are over because his college career is over. It's like, you're losing impact players, but that's what happens with good teams. They lose impact players. And the best programs, and Arizona's not there yet. You know, Arizona's had a good season. You know, a good season is not a top program make. But if Arizona gets the level that we want them to get to, then they should be able to withstand, you know, losing some of these guys. Like, yeah, if you lose your quarterback, that's one thing, right? You have to find your next really good quarterback. If you lose, you know, top 10 draft pick type players, that's a different story. You still have to replace them. I mean, Alabama does it every year, right? Like, the best programs do that. They have NFL draft picks. They go, they get drafted. They replace them with future NFL draft picks, or at least people who are competent enough to play those roles. So that's what Arizona should get to. So, yeah, are they there yet? No. They're not. But we'll see how much closer to that level that they are with this next season. Because if they replace Jordan Morgan, if it's like Raymond Pulido comes in, he's a left tackle. You know, if they move some guys around and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, Jordan Morgan was good. And then there's a step down from there, but they're not like they don't have a turnstile at left tackle. You know, if they could find a number two receiver to take some of the pressure off T-Mac and they're fine in the passing game, they can generate a pass rush without Taylor Upshaw. If the tight ends, you know, Tyler Powell or Keon Burnett or Olsen, the guy they just picked, or whoever, can make up for Tanner McLaughlin, it's like, hey, that's what good programs do. They develop good players, they send them to the NFL, and they bring in more good players to replace them.
You're preaching to the converted, Adam. I mean, if you really look at what Arizona's lost so far, all of the impact talent is going to the NFL, and then maybe Bill Norton, and then maybe some other guys that are like, oh, I'd like to have him around, like DJ Warnell, right? Joe Borjon. But there's plenty of young talent still on this roster, and there's still, somewhere between 15 and 20 roster spots open.
Like scholarships, yeah.
To fill in. You know, and if the early indications on retention are evidence, and if the interest with Damian Martinez are evidence, I'm intrigued at what the staff is going to do to close out that roster.
Yeah, certainly. So there's still time for things to go sideways. Like the bottom could fall out, and obviously with the spring game's coming up on Saturday, and if players don't get the reps they want or they kind of see the writing on the wall, that could lead them to portaling. But chances are, if they're the type of player that's seeing, like, not getting the reps and seeing the writing on the wall, they're not players Arizona is going to be counting on this year anyway. Like, those guys leaving, you wouldn't be a crestfallen. You wouldn't be like, oh no, you know, the fourth string linebacker left, bummer. Like, you want to see guys stick around and develop, but if they're looking for playing, if they're leaving because of playing time, then that's not exactly a bad sign. It's maybe a good sign that they have players who are that, you know, solidly behind. But, yeah, offseason's different now, and especially so when you have a whole new coaching staff and have no idea what to expect. But so far, so good. Brett, let's take a break, and we come back. We're going to talk to Matt Moreno, who's with the Rivals Network, covers West Coast recruiting, to get his take on what Arizona's been doing so far in this transfer portal, this version of it, how the coaching staff has fared, what we can expect from Brent Brand, and also we'll touch on some basketball because they also have a portal open. So let's talk to Matt after the break.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back. It's Wildcat Radio 2.0. We are joined by Matt Moreno, who covers recruiting in the West Coast. His Twitter bio says from the Pac-12, but we know the Pac-12 doesn't really exist, at least, in a couple more months probably. But he does it all for Rivals, one of the best guys to talk to for recruiting stuff and what's going on with West Coast athletics teams. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys. I appreciate it as always.
No, we love your insight, and especially now we're talking. We're going to mostly do some football, right? Like, the transfer portal window is open right now, the spring portal. Of course, basketball portal is out there, too. So there's a lot of portaling. There's a lot of recruiting news out there. It doesn't seem like as much for Arizona, at least in football yet. Now, for football, I would say a lot of people think that's a good thing, right? They haven't had a lot of players enter the spring portal, which is awesome. But at the same time, they do have multiple scholarships to fill, positions that need help. From the team that, you know, from they lost from last season. Early on, Brent Brennan, his first spring period, what is the vibe that he and his staff are putting out there in terms of Arizona football, at least maybe even compared to the previous coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more measured of an approach. I think I know fans are not necessarily thrilled that it's, you know, kind of feels like it's slow to move, but Also, you have to remember that I still think there are a lot of teams still finishing up spring ball. And I think that's going to really dictate a lot too, because, you know, some of these teams and some of these players are going to going to play out their spring games and be like, hey, I didn't play as much as I thought I was in the spring game, or I'm not, you know, where I thought I was on the pecking order and on the depth chart. And so I think you're still going to see some more movement. There's still, you know, some more time before these, you know, the portal closes again. And, you know, they have until the end of the month to do so, to enter. And then I think a lot of people get confused and think that's it. Like, if you don't make a decision by the next week, like, it's over. No, you just have to enter the portal. You can make a decision all the way up until, you know, the summer, or even close to the season if you really wanted to. But so there's still a lot of movement to happen. I mean, to think that just because Arizona hasn't been going crazy on adding players yet, to think that it's not going to happen is just, that's not the right approach. There's going to be some more additions made. It's just going to happen. And so, you know, they've kind of been a little bit slower to get it going, but, you know, the players they have added, other schools have wanted them, you know? So it's not like they're not, you know, they're competing against nobody. They're competing against programs that, you know, that also want those players. And so there's been some progress. I think it's just been a little bit slower. Also, it's just part of the process. You have a new staff. They haven't coached any games. You know, and obviously the portal kind of evens the playing field a little bit more. So, you know, these players are looking at teams that they aren't super familiar with and are probably in similar situations as a place like Arizona with a new staff and maybe a new look, maybe not sure of what it's completely going to look like. But I think there is still that hesitation of, okay, let's see what they're about. I think obviously you need to have visits happen, and there's still going to be a lot of time for visits after, you know, the portal closes, the window closes. And so there's still a lot of work to be done, a lot of things to take place. And so I don't think there's any reason to kind of start to panic or feel like Arizona's moving too slow, because I think there's still a lot of action still to come for Arizona and programs, you know, elsewhere as well, because it feels like this is kind of still ramping up. I'm a little bit surprised. I thought it was going to be a lot more hectic, you know, especially at the start. I thought as soon as the window opened, there was going to be a ton of players entering the portal kind of all over the country. And we've seen that. There have been a couple of surprises, but there hasn't been a huge wave that I think I thought I would see. And I think a lot of people kind of around the industry thought they would see with the spring window. I thought just because of how things played out in the winter, with so much coaching movement, so many new coaches moving all over the place, and so late in the process that, you know, there were still coaches being hired. UCLA is an example with, you know, Deshaun Foster, where that was like into January or February, and the previous portal window had already closed. And it's like, it's a lot going on late in the process where I think a lot of players didn't have a chance to really kind of even take in what was going on. You talk about, I'm sure we're going to have this discussion about Arizona's former head coach up at Washington. There were some players there that were practicing for the national championship game, who came in as mid-year guys, go and practice for a national championship, don't play in it, but, you know, get that experience, and then go, oh, our coach is gone, and now we have a new coach, and like trying to figure all that out. So I think there's going to be, you know, I still believe there's going to be quite a bit of movement, but I thought there'd be a lot more right as the window opened with players kind of in some of those situations.
Now, understanding that the portal isn't closing, like you said, all players would do is enter it. They don't have to go anywhere, and they could still leave. But is it a little homerish to say from Arizona's perspective that, you know, Brent Brown, his staff's biggest recruiting wins is still keeping guys in town, right? Because there was always the fear, I guess, the first wave after Jed Fish left and Brennan was hired was like, you know, who's going to leave? And they lost a few guys, but it wasn't like a mass exodus. And you're like, okay, these players are going to give the new coaching staff a chance. Well, they're giving them that chance now, and if they're not leaving, that must be, it's kind of like recruiting wins, right? I mean, is it fair to say that keeping your own guys is basically another form of recruiting these days, and if Arizona can keep these guys in Tucson, then those are recruiting victories?
It really is, and it's not fun. I think for fans, I think they're going to be like, well, no, we want new guys. I mean, you see it every year during training camp, even spring ball now with so many mid-year, you know, additions. You see like, well, we know about, you know, the guys that have been here. We want to see the new guys. And so there's kind of always that every year, but I think it kind of takes some of the luster out of it when you go like, oh no, like that's a huge recruiting win to keep T-Mac, to keep Noah Fifita, to keep some of these players in the mix. Like that's a huge recruiting win because as much as people don't want to admit it, there is, you know, these things going on behind the scenes, and there's going to be a whole conversation, I'm sure, soon about, you know, what comes into play and obviously tampering and all that stuff. And it feels like it's pretty wide open in terms of communication with a lot of different programs. And, you know, it's just kind of the way things are. And I think if you kind of really dig into it, there's things going on kind of behind back channels where it's not necessarily clear tampering, which I think is, you know, what people think of it. It's, you know, there's ways to get messages out there of like, hey, if X player wants to come to our program, this is kind of what we would be able to offer. This is what kind of would be, you know, in the conversation of what we can, you know, not necessarily offer them an NIL, but just kind of the opportunity we can give them, you know, at our program. And so I think there's ways of having those things floated. And I think you're seeing that across the country. We'll see what the NCAA decides to do about that. But yeah, I think there are ways of players going like, I know what I could kind of get, you know, if I did decide to enter the portal. So yes, I think you are kind of combating that a little bit. If you're at your current school and you're like, you have to recruit those guys, you have to continue to recruit them, especially for a new coaching staff, you know, like with Brent Brennan, it was, yes, you keep them and sell them on, hey, I can do these things for you and you can fit into my system this way. And then that was all before spring ball. And then you get into spring ball and you go, okay, this is exactly how we're going to do it. This is exactly how you fit in. And so you kind of have to win them over again because you go, okay, look it, we just made this play. We just did this. This is how you fit in exactly. Because some guys can see that and go like, hey, that wasn't what you told me, or that's not what you talked to me about. I'm not seeing that out on the field. So there's kind of different levels to it. And I think, again, getting this far into spring ball and not necessarily having a huge number of guys enter the portal and nobody significant up as of this point, I think is a bigger recruiting win. Again, it's not fun, I think, for fans. I think they want to see, you know, players coming in and like new faces. And I'm sure someone will talk about a big running back from another school that was in the Pac-12 at one point. You know, they want to see players like that added to the roster and go, okay, now we can talk about like, what's this team going to look like in the fall. But, you know, you have to have those other pieces around him. And for Arizona, that's a lot of the current guys. And so I think, yeah, to your point, I think it is definitely a big part of the recruiting process. It's kind of a big part of what this coaching staff has to do. And, you know, that started right away for Brent Brennan when he arrived. I mean, it was a quick process. And I think that showed you how much of a priority it was for him to make sure all those guys stayed. And he did a pretty good job of keeping, you know, a lot of the notable players in Tucson.
So, Matt, you know, we're sitting here recording on April 23rd. As the dust has a little bit settled through the chaotic offseason, spring ball's almost done for Arizona. The spring portal's about to close for now. Where do you see Arizona's situation now? And I use that in the broadest sense possible with the new coaching staff, with what they have to offer in the NIL, with just the general vibe, the roster, the change at the president's office probably coming, the financial crisis. How do you feel as somebody that has a, you know, a finger on the pulse of what's going on in college football, especially on the West Coast? Where does Arizona sit right now in terms of expectations heading into the real offseason into the fall?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not really that much different than where they were, you know, at the end of the season, to me. I think there are some different expectations. I think probably not as great as it once was, that you're not feeling as positive about where the, you know, where the program is going as you felt right after, you know, the Alamo Bowl. Obviously there's been a lot of changes since then, but for as many different ways as it could have gone after Jed Fish decided to leave, it ended up in a pretty good spot. Again, we have to wait and see where things kind of fall with the rest of the transfer portal window. And if they're able to kind of retain everybody that so far has remained on the team, I think you're in a good spot. I mean, I thought they were going to be very, very competitive in the Big 12 next season, have a really good chance to win the Big 12. Maybe you have to prove it a little bit more to me now, but I don't think that they're not part of that conversation. I still think that they have the type of team that can do that and can reach that point, especially if they add some of these pieces that they're going after right now. And, you know, you keep everybody on board like we've been talking about. I don't think it's, you know, that far-fetched to think that they could still be in that conversation. Maybe it's going to look a little different. Maybe it's not going to be as pretty, but because it did feel like they had things kind of rolling in the right direction. It really felt like they're going to be, you know, a team that's talked about, you know, among the top teams in the country next season, if they're able to kind of keep everything intact. But I still think they could be in that conversation for the Big 12. And again, all the different ways it could have gone, if that's where you're at the end of the day, that's not a bad spot to be in. And, you know, I think a really strong season can only do good things for Arizona and Brent Brennan, and, you know, can only help them build. And that's kind of the biggest thing, is you don't want to have a drop off when you have a season like last year, because we've seen Arizona kind of reach a point like that, you know, the Fiesta Bowl year, where you go, okay, they had a really strong season and they just didn't capitalize on it really in any way. And there was that drop off and it kind of really never recovered for a long time until this last year. So I think if you're Arizona, you're feeling pretty good about where you're at. If you can kind of keep this team intact, which is, again, as we talked about, a really big key of this, you're in a good spot, man. I don't think it's that much. The outlook, I don't think, is very much different than where it was, you know, at the end of last season. It's definitely changed, but I think it's, you know, I think you can still be very positive about this team. I think you can feel very optimistic about this team and feel good about, you know, the direction of the program, you know, even with the new head coach.
I think one of the things Brett was kind of getting at is just like what kind of juice Arizona has on the recruiting trail with Brent Brown. Like, obviously, Jed Fish offseasons were the thing of legend. Arizona had the one great offseason recruiting class that kind of built the foundation of this team. But people were pretty solidly behind Jed Fish's ability to recruit. Brent Brennan did a great job at San Jose State, but it's San Jose State. So he's going on the recruiting trail, battling everyone else with whatever NIL Arizona has behind him. They look at a guy like Damian Martinez, right? Like bringing him, and it's like that's a huge fish if they could land him. I know they're competing. I think Miami's supposed to be one of the favorites in the huge NIL package. I'm curious just with Brent Brennan, what you know of him being a West Coast guy in terms of he, his staff, what type of recruiters are they? I mean, are they capable? Are they the type that with the bigger school behind them now, with the resource they have, can show to be just as good as what Arizona had before? Better, maybe slightly less. Like, where do they land in terms of their ability to recruit given their new resources?
Yeah, and I think you hit on a lot of key points there and things I've been talking about really since Brent Brennan was hired, but there's some key things here. I think there's some unknown territory with this staff because they haven't been at this level, so you don't really know exactly what their ceiling is. Based on what I know about them and what I've seen from them since Brent Brennan was the head coach at San Jose State, they can really evaluate. They are really, really, really good evaluators of talent. I think they know what they like. What I've seen a lot from them at San Jose State is when you go back and look, and honestly, Arizona was kind of second in a lot of these situations where you go, okay, who's offered this recruit before? I really haven't heard this name before. And you go, oh, he just picked up an Arizona offer. And you go, oh, this isn't his first offer. His first offer was San Jose State. San Jose State's really good about jumping in early, identifying talent really early, evaluating what it likes, and almost really hitting on those guys a lot. Their issue was kind of the school behind them, their logo. You know, it was a lot of times what would happen, and they just had this example just last year with a recruit who ended up at USC. They saw him. He never played football before. He was a basketball player, really came in the spring new to the game, and he was going to play his senior year. It was going to be his first year playing football. They offered him first at San Jose State, Brent Brennan and his staff. He committed right away. Everyone saw him play out. Like, this was real. Like, he played like a week of football, and they were able to like lock him up and see, okay, see what they needed to see to lock him up. He eventually gets back out on the field or gets on the field for the first time in the spring. Everyone goes, wow, who's this kid? And he blows up, gets pretty much every offer you would think of. Arizona was involved. USC eventually became involved. He ends up committing to USC, flipping from San Jose State to USC. Not a whole lot you can do if you're Brent Brennan and the staff at San Jose State when USC comes calling. You're like, hey, what do we like? We can't compete with that. And so, I think I trust their evaluations. If there's something that I have learned about this staff over the years, kind of watching them from afar and what they're doing at San Jose State, is I think you can trust their evaluations. And that's huge. That is huge in the recruiting game. In whether you're talking about high school recruiting, portal is really key because you only have a short amount of time. I mean, you've seen how these decisions come together. The one, you know, speaking of Damian Martinez, his is almost taking a long time. And that's, it's kind of more rare because some of these guys are like, no, I'm going to decide in about 3 days. Some of these are more transactional. I mean, it's just kind of the way the game has become where it's like, hey, what are you offering? What's your collective able to, you know, offer me? All right, cool. Let me know I'm coming or I'm not, you know, I'm going somewhere else. And so, so some of those are like that, but you know, when it comes to trying to figure out, you know, what you like and who you're going to pursue, there's so many players in the portal and some of these guys haven't played a whole lot. You have to trust your evaluations. And so I think, if there's one thing that you can really like, if you're an Arizona fan, about Brent Brennan and his staff, which has mostly been intact for, you know, a long time, is you can trust their evaluations. And I think that's going to be key. And the change will be, will they kind of not allow themselves to kind of think about, oh, we're still at San Jose State. Because I think some coaches get kind of into that mindset of like, oh, we're only this thing and we can't recruit at that level. I think that's where Jed Fish really excelled, where he was not like, oh, we're just at Arizona. It was like, no, we're going to compete with whoever because we can. And so I think if you have that mentality, if there's something that the new staff can take from that former staff, it is that mentality, because I've seen that kind of shortcoming with, a couple of the other previous head coaches where you saw them kind of recruit and then they would kind of just stop, or you heard about it. I mean, there's different recruits to talk about. They just stopped recruiting when Ohio State became involved or when Texas became involved and just stopped talking to me because, and if you kind of read between the lines, it was because the coaches thought, well, we can't get those guys. You never got that sense with the previous staff, with Jed Fish and his coaches. And so, sometimes there is that tendency for a coach kind of taking a step up to be like, oh, we know what we know, and almost lean too much on those evaluations instead of being like, oh no, you have a logo and a conference behind you and now money behind you to, you know, get some of these top tier players. And I think we obviously see those on the roster now. Someone like Tetro McMillan is not coming to Arizona unless all these things align. And so, but that proves to you, hey, that can happen. And so, yes, it was a rare circumstance. Yes, it was kind of a once in a very long time type of deal, but it can happen. And so I think as long as this current Arizona staff doesn't kind of pigeonhole itself into being this thing of like, oh, we can only do certain things and kind of swing for the fences, I think they'll be fine. I think they, you know, they evaluate guys well enough and understand the recruiting game well enough, I think, to really go after some of these top tier players. And you mentioned Damian Martinez. I think this is a very pivotal and critical kind of point for them. Maybe they lose, but if they're able to pull off Damian Martinez, which we know there is a big NIL element here, I think that's one, even if they don't get Damian Martinez, I think that's one of the big takeaways you can take from this, is that Arizona's ready to play ball NIL.
Like, they're trying.
Because,
yeah.
Because you can't get in this conversation unless you're ready, willing to do that, because you know he knows what he can get. You look at the other teams that are involved. You mentioned Miami. We know what that school is about. You know what some of these other programs that are on his list are about. To me, that speaks volumes about what Arizona is doing in the NIL space, and to even be in that conversation, to even be talked about. That's not just, hey, I like the coaching staff. There's that element too. And eventually that's maybe what pushes it over the top, but you have to be on par with these other schools in terms of NIL. And I think that's a huge thing to take away from this Damian Martinez situation, because I'm sure there's some people on the outside going like, how is Arizona even in the picture? And to me, that says a lot about why they're in the picture, and, you know, maybe what's to come for this program. And if they're going to continue to have competitive, you know, numbers in NIL, they're on their way, and they're on their way. And I think that's a good sign, whether they get Damian Martinez or not.
So you hit on some stuff that I really wanted to get your perspective on, Matt, as like an Arizona guy, but a West Coast guy more than just an Arizona guy. And you have a better sense of that. We've talked about on this pod where, you know, Brent Brennan walked into the culture that Jed Fish thought would build and thought would travel with him. And Brent Brennan, I think, is a universally liked guy. And you combine that with, you know, you combine that with NIL that is competitive. Is Brent Brennan as the general nice guy? Does that cut through in a cutthroat business to help win some of those battles, as long as you're competitive when you're talking to parents or people that want to know that the coaches aren't just, you know, viewing their kids as transactions?
I think so. And I think honestly, what it comes down to is you kind of need some of those cutthroat guys on your staff. And I think that's when you look at this coaching staff, I think that's the thing that really stands out to me, is that Brent Brennan can kind of be who he is and be that guy and be the figurehead, because a lot of the recruiting is going to be done by your staff. And I think he knows what type of staff he has. I think there's a reason they had success recruiting wise at San Jose State. A lot of it is because the guys they have on their staff. And I think they have, you know, Alonzo Carter's name has come up a ton in terms of just maybe being that type of guy who can influence a lot of players, influence a lot of recruits. You want to have those guys that, you know, when they're recruiting, players go like, man, that guy was like a father figure to me, or that guy, you know, what he said really resonated with me. Yeah, I didn't end up there, but like, I still talk to him, or I still feel like I can talk to him, go to him for different conversations. And, you know, Arizona had that with Scotty Graham, and he was able to pull in, you know, a lot of top talent during his time at Arizona. I think they have that with Alonzo Carter, and his reach goes beyond just kind of the Bay Area. I think you think about, well, he has so many connections to that part of the country. And yes, Arizona's gonna be very involved in that part of the country. There's a lot of talent there right now, but I think his personality is something that goes beyond that. Chip Biney is another guy who, wherever he's been, he's always been thought of as a high level recruiter and has some of that kind of swagger and element to his game as well. And so you look at, you know, those are just to name a couple, but I think if you go up and down the coaching staff, there are a lot of coaches who kind of bring that element, can go into the living rooms, can go into these meetings and really, you know, sell a recruit. And Brent Brennan can kind of just be himself, which is kind of the ideal situation if you're kind of building a program. And I think that's why he wanted to keep the guys that he has around him with him from San Jose State, because it is familiar. And again, I think he feels like he can just be himself, and, you know, and you can kind of pull in recruits that way. And I think anytime you're authentic, that's, if there is something that I think resonates with recruits, if you strip away kind of the NIL, if you strip away a lot of the things, it's just tell me what your expectations are of me, what I should expect when I get there. Just be upfront and truthful with me, and we're all good. Like, if I don't play, but you told me, hey, you probably weren't going to play, I think recruits are okay with that. It's when they get sold something and they show up and it's different. That's when you kind of have the situations where a lot of guys transfer and maybe feeling like they're lied to in the process. And so if you come across as truthful, which I think, again, if you're talking about this situation here where Brent Brennan feels like he can just kind of be himself, because he has his staff who's, you know, such talented recruiters, I think that's going to resonate. And I think that'll do good things for Arizona, you know, in the years to come.
Now, talking about honesty with coaches, there's obviously a lot of Arizona fans who feel like the previous coach was not so honest. I know Brad and I have talked about it. I think we agree Jed Fish was all in on Arizona until he wasn't. Now, was he looking for his way out for a little while? Probably. I'm wondering now, they're not in the same conference anymore. Obviously, they're going to the Big Ten. Arizona's in the Big 12. They're not competing necessarily like that, but they are probably still competing for a lot of the same recruits, competing for the same Arizona players right now, if you listen to some reports. the idea that, you know, the way that Fish left Arizona, because like we talked about, Brent Brand's this nice guy, right? People trust him. He's someone that you can count on, that he tells it to you straight, at least that's his reputation. Does the way Fish exited Arizona impact how he and Washington is viewed as a program for recruits? It's like Arizona fans think that guy's a snake. Why would anyone want to play for him? Do recruits see it that way? Some Arizona players right now might see it that way a little bit, but do recruits generally see it that way?
No, I don't think so. I think that's going to be a thing that's kind of Tucson centric.
Yeah.
For the immediate future. I mean, we'll see what happens once he kind of really kind of digs in and starts to recruit for Washington, but recruits really don't pay attention to that. As I've always said, recruits view things very differently than the average fan does, or than even an avid fan does. It's just a different perspective, a different thing. I've heard a number of basketball recruits talk about certain coaches and say they let them, like, I like them because they let their guys go. They let them have freedom. And I watch them and I go, that guy does not let his players have freedom. I don't know what film you're watching. I don't know what you guys were sold. That's not what that coach does. So recruits don't, they kind of listen to what's being told to them as opposed to doing, you know, their research a ton. Some recruits don't, you know, some recruits do. They're able to really dig in and they don't end up at those schools. But I think for the most part, you know, recruits, they just go off a feel, their families go off a feel. And if what they feel is presented to them is authentic, then that's what they're going to believe. And so it would take another program to come in and say, hey, do you really want to go to that school? We'll see what happens there. And there's always negative recruiting going on all over the country, but it feels like every program could be kind of negatively recruited, you know, in today's game. And so we'll see what happens. But I think it would take that type of thing for it to really impact recruiting. It would take, a ton of words from other people outside influences saying, hey, like, you should have looked and saw what he did at Arizona or how it went down at Arizona if you really want to assess who this is as a person. But it just doesn't happen a whole lot. I know fans see it that way, but recruits kind of just see what's in front of them and see what's kind of presented to them and kind of make their judgments based off of that. And so I don't think it's going to really impact them that much at Washington. We'll have to kind of see. I think their challenge is going to be competing, honestly, with the big boys. At Arizona, it's kind of a unique thing where you can go, hey, we're not part of that big boy crew, but we can be up there and help us get there. You're at Washington. You just play for a national title. You're like, you're up there now and you have to live up to that. Yes, it wasn't the current staff, but you have that kind of next to your name. That's a difficult sell. Because then you're trying to, then it's like, well, okay, well, you're going to the Big Ten. What's my NAL situation? And you're talking about bigger numbers. You're talking about a bigger everything. And it's a different kind of challenge. You're no longer kind of the little guy that everybody roots for. You're the one that everyone's kind of gunning for and everyone is going to kind of negative recruit against and pick apart as they're trying to kind of, recruit against you and all those types of things. And so it's a different kind of, I think, player and recruit that Arizona is looking for right now, as opposed to Washington. Washington's looking for someone that's a little bit different. Even though it is a very familiar feeling with the same staff, but I think it's a different ballgame, and it'll be very interesting to see kind of how that plays out, because it's a different challenge. I don't think it has gone as well as people probably anticipated at Washington. They are definitely getting some talented recruits up there, but I think it's not a wave of, hey, everyone's going to come to Washington because everyone just saw what Jed Fish did at Arizona and he's a coach on the rise. I mean, I think there's still some hesitation, like, hey, let's see what this is about. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out, you know, in the next year or two.
Well, the transfer portal is insane, right? And I'm a little personally offended that as a 6'5 guy with a grad transfer immediate eligibility already living in Seattle after moving up here, that I haven't gotten a call from Fish and staff. But transitioning that to a different kind of transfer portal madness, let's move over to hoops. What's going on with Arizona basketball in terms of, you know, their roster construction? There's been a lot of churn. Umar Ballo has left. There's guys that have declared for the draft that may come back. Some more than others. There's commits that have reclassed, but also, you know, rosters are always in flux. Where are we at in this offseason, and have Arizona fans learned enough to trust Tommy Lloyd in terms of roster construction?
They have not. definitely not. And they should have by now. I would say that if you look at the Arizona sphere, if you talk about Arizona athletics and the sphere of people, whether it's fans, players, whoever, coaches, there's probably no one less concerned about Arizona's fall roster than Tommy Lloyd. I don't know that he's, I think you could take his pulse right now and he'd be you could be out, you know, on the lake and you're talking about, you know, where players are right now and going like, oh, you need to build where fans are like, you need to build this roster right now. He's very calm. I mean, if that's one thing that we've learned about him and I've gotten to know about him it could be very close to getting to crunch time. You're talking about the summer. And he's like, it's fine. We'll find some guys. We'll bring some guys in. And every year he does. And so I know patience is not easy for fans, especially when you see players kind of transferring and picking different schools. And you're like, hey, I would have liked that guy at Arizona. I would have liked that guy at Arizona. He would have helped out in a big way. You know, I know it's easy to kind of fall into that and be like, no, well, what's Arizona doing? Why are they just kind of sitting on their hands? But you know, Tommy Lloyd has always seemed to figure it out and find the right pieces. And, you know, Poole, he's always got something up his sleeve, and the good coaches do. They kind of always have a plan. And if you listen to the good coaches, they will tell you, hey, we have a plan. Just let it play out. And so I think there has to be a certain amount of trust. I know it's been difficult for fans to really kind of pick up on every year, but it's kind of the same process every year where, you know, you wait it out. Obviously, there's NBA decisions to be made. You know, KJ Lewis is testing the waters. Caleb Love is testing the waters. Both of those guys could come back. They're keeping their eligibility. So there's just so much up in the air until the NBA decisions kind of come out, until the combine gets a chance to play out, until these guys get that info and then decide what they're going to do, that you just kind of have to figure it out and kind of wait it out to see how the roster comes together. But there is some progress we made. I really like the recruiting class. I think, you know, you look at that group as a whole, to me, it's the best group that they've had. There's a lot of talent there, a lot of talent within this recruiting class, a lot of versatility within that recruiting class to kind of, which is kind of what you need if you're Arizona, because you're trying to just basically build a roster that is still moving. There's some moving parts to it and you kind of need some flexibility there. And so, I think the recruiting class has come together very well. And then it's really just about kind of fine tuning it and picking the pieces that you think fit. I think the priority, as everyone's kind of seen right now, is you need another big man. I mean, you lose Umar Ballo. You have some kind of youth at those positions. You saw what Keyshawn Johnson was able to do and what he was able to bring as a veteran in that front court. And I think you look at that and you go, that's the weak spot of this team right now. And so you see them, you know, Trey Townsend is someone that's going to be making a decision here pretty soon from Oakland, really one of the top portal players available. If Arizona is able to add him, you're looking okay if you can bring back KJ Lewis and, you know, add him to, you know, Jaden Bradley, and if you're able to get Caleb Love back, that's kind of the big question mark, I think, for this offseason. And if you don't get him back, then you just pivot and find somebody else. I think the thing that you can learn about kind of the transfer portal is that there's always going to be players available. There's always going to be somebody else that you're like, oh, I didn't even realize. There's somebody that's really good, or someone that gets bad NBA, you know, discussions. I mean, that's the other thing. There's so many guys that are entering their name in the draft because why not? You can keep your eligibility and test the water, see where you're lined up, and decide, hey, I thought I was going to be a first round pick. The word is I'm not. So I'm going to come back. And there's a, you know, an NBA level player that comes back into the transfer portal pool. So I think, again, talking about this last year, Caleb Love was going to a different school, you know, at this point last year. So there's so many things that can change. I think it's definitely way too early to be panicked in any way. And I think if there's anything we've learned, it's that Tommy Lloyd is going to be very patient. He's not going to stress at all in this point of the year. It could be July, and I think he'd be okay. And I think you could check his pulse, and he'd be just the same as he is, you know, in April. And so I know it's hard to have patience for fans, but I think if you have some patience, I think this roster will come together just fine. And at the end of the day, you still have a really amazing recruiting class coming in, and that's quite the thing to build around for the future.
Is it different with Arizona basketball? Because obviously it is a national brand. You know, Tommy Lloyd, I know he's had a couple of earlier exits than people thought in the NCAA tournament, but they're winning 25-plus games a year. They're sending guys to the NBA. Is it different for, like, Arizona basketball when it comes to the portal, like that patience? Like, it should be easier to have that patience because you know more often than not it's going to work out, right? Like, it's football. It's like, oh, how good is Arizona? Maybe they're going to lose guys. Can they get anybody? This is Arizona men's basketball. Like, they don't have problems there, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you're an Arizona football fan, you're always thought as like, oh, here comes whatever school. Here
like
comes
the other shoe's going to drop. Yeah,
here
yeah.
Comes whoever. Well, if you're another school right now, you're like, is Arizona going to get involved with whoever? Is that because we want that guy? It's a different feeling for sure. Yeah. And so I think, there is. If Arizona wants to get involved with somebody in the 11th hour, I think there's enough kind of, you know, force behind the program. There's enough brand name recognition with the Block A in Arizona that it can jump in late with anybody and get involved and have at least a puncher's chance to kind of pull any player really in the country. And so I think that they'll be just fine. And, but yeah, I agree. I think that because of the brand and because of what, you know, it has been built up to be, there's never any reason to panic. It's exactly where you want to be as a coach, because you can kind of take it easy right now, let things play out and figure out exactly who you want, really identify. And I think if you talk to a lot of coaches who are having success in the portal, it's about identifying who they really want and really focusing in on those guys, as opposed to kind of like casting a wide net and being like, okay, let's just go after everybody. A lot of the coaches that are having success are really honing in and zeroing in on a couple guys and going, we want those guys and we're not going to give up until we get them. I think that's what you're seeing with Arizona's approach, where it hasn't been a wide net. It's been really focused so far. And it's like, they're going to have a very good chance to pull off Trey Townsend. We'll see if they are able to get over that hump, but they're right in that conversation. They're in, you know, the very, very final stages of it. And it's right where you want to be. And so, yeah, I think if you're an Arizona basketball fan, it's, you can rest easy knowing that, hey, if Arizona wants to get involved with somebody, there's going to be a good chance that they have a, you know, shot to get them.
So Matt, I want to leave you with a hopefully a fun question. Including incoming freshmen, but excluding people that are in the portal and or declared for the draft, true or false, Arizona's leading scorer is on the roster as of today, April 23rd, for next season?
Yeah, I think so.
Does that include the freshman, I guess, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that includes the freshman. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That was kind of my backhanded way of getting you to say if Caleb Love is coming back, really.
I would say so. I think so. I haven't been thinking it. Maybe we have to rethink it.
You said this would be a fun, easy one, Brett. Yeah, what are you doing to him?
Yeah, this is too hard of a question.
We just talked about coaches who like tell recruits something and then they mislead them. Here you are telling Matt you got a fun, easy question. You ask him this.
I mean, we can't loft them all softballs.
Yeah, I will say that I'm a big Carter Bryant fan. I'm a really big Carter Bryant fan. I know there's a lot of buzz behind the NBA conversation and what he could potentially be. I think people will look at what he did as a high school prospect and go, well, there's still something to be desired. And there were some games where I saw him that he didn't live up to his full potential, but he was also kind of playing out of position for pretty much his entire high school career. When you're that big and you're playing on a kind of public high school team, you're going to be playing center a lot if you're 6'8", 6'9", you know? And so, you know, him being, you know, 6'7", 6'8", I think is one of those things where it's like, he's more fitted for playing on the wing, being a perimeter guy. He didn't get to do a whole lot of that, but I'm a big fan. McDonald's All-American. I think there's some untapped potential there that's going to be kind of unleashed a little bit at the next level in Tommy Lloyd's system. And I'm a really big fan of what he brings to the table. And so we'll see. Maybe that's my pick. But yeah, if Caleb Love comes back, then I guess I'm wrong. But it's hard to argue with, you know, Pac-12 Player of the Year and not having him be your leading scorer. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
Good problems to have, though. Good question to struggle with, that Arizona could have multiple options to lead them in scoring on the roster, testing the draft waters, maybe not on the roster yet. Matt Moreno, he covers recruiting for the West Coast teams, formerly Pac-12. I imagine do some Big 12 stuff, too, in the future for Rivals. It's part of the Yahoo Sports Network. You can find him on Twitter at Matt R. Moreno. As always, we appreciate the time, and maybe we'll catch up again with you down the road when Arizona's roster is more complete and we can get your final answer on the leading scorer.
Absolutely, guys, anytime.
All right, that's Matt Moreno. When we come back, a little more news and notes for Arizona Athletics.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
We're back. It's Wildcat Radio 2.0. Thanks again to Matt Moreno from the Rivals Network, covers West Coast recruiting, because that's the guy who's dialed it, right? We can see the news or the lack of news, Brett, and come with all the assumptions that we want about the inactivity or what has happened and be like, we don't know anything. That guy does. So I think it's probably nice to hear that football, like, there's nothing to be upset about with the slow playing of things. And with basketball, you should be optimistic because Tommy Lloyd knows what he's doing. So, yeah, I think Arizona fans should take that.
Well, we all know that Arizona fans are completely reasonable when it comes to roster construction and just general news and concern about their roster holding together. Oh,
it's an incredibly patient and trusting group.
Oh, very much so. Years and years of evidence of that. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of fascinating to me that, you know, is this the ideal offseason Arizona fans wanted after a magical football season? Obviously not. And that's, thank you, Washington and Jed Fish, for bailing, you know, that. But if you look at it in the context of after that season, with the talent you have on the roster and with the changes in the context of NIL, transfer portal, you know, dot, 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 it's pretty close to an ideal outcome that was realistic so far for football, with some potential optimism for what they may close out with. And so that's very encouraging. And then for basketball, all of you just need to calm down and trust Tommy Lloyd, because you're going to be it's the rinse repeat of, oh, well, it's a rebuilding year. Maybe they'll be in the top 20-ish. And then they have early wins, and then they say, oh, why aren't you going to the Final Four? And then if they lose at any game, you'll say, fire Tommy Lloyd, and you're all dumb.
That's good. Tell our listeners they're dumb, Brett. That'll help get those 5-star reviews. I'll get to it later, but yeah, leave us a rating and review. We will read the review on the air, especially if you're trashing Brett for calling you all dumb.
I will read it personally.
I hope so. You're the one who reads them, so yeah, you would read it personally. So you could write that and maybe write it in Brett's voice too, so he has to say, oh, that would be great. But
I hate the sound of my own voice.
I know, this is going to be amazing. But like, to your point on the basketball portal, because, like, you know, we talked a lot of football with Matt, a little bit of basketball, and obviously we talked football in the first segment. But like, what Arizona's lost so far, like, and we don't know, like, there's players like Caleb Love, who's looking at the draft stock, probably not a first round pick. So we'll see if he decides to come back. KJ Lewis, same thing, right? It's hard to imagine you get a first round grade. You never know. Dalen Terry ended up getting a first round grade a couple of years ago.
Dalen Terry is right there.
You know, so it's possible. I mean, Terry, I think, had different measurables than KJ Lewis and was also coming after his sophomore season.
Different
skill sets. So we'll see, right? Anything can happen. You know, Pelle Larsen announced he's going and not maintaining eligibility. He gone. But Arizona, like, what they've lost so far: Umar Ballo to Indiana, Kylan Boswell to Illinois. Okay. Dylan Anderson, Philly B, Paulus Moroskis, all gone, but those were bench players who, if you were relying on them next year, that was interesting because they hadn't done anything yet. And if Caleb Love comes back, and if KJ Lewis comes back, given what Arizona's bringing in freshman-wise, like Matt was saying, it's not a bad roster. Like, is it a new roster? Is there a lot of unknowns? With the freshmen, but Caleb Love is proven. KJ Lewis would be proven. Jaden Bradley's pretty proven. That's three starters right there who you know what you're getting. You know, possibly even jumps from a KJ Lewis and a Jaden Bradley. Krivas could take a jump if he's your starting center, and then ideally get a transfer portal forward. Maybe it's Townsend who they're in on right now. But then, yeah, like, what if Carter Bryant is the type of player that Matt seems to think he is coming in when he's in the right position? What if Jamari Phillips or Emmanuel Steven? Like, maybe what if Emmanuel Steven, we talk about Arizona, he's a center. What if he's able to play 10, 12 minutes a game as a rim-running, shot-blocking, rebounding center for them to spell Krivas, give them a different look? Right? Like, these things could happen. And if they don't, there's still a transfer portal, there's still roster spots, and it's still Arizona basketball. With, I think Matt's point was nice, where it's like, the guys that you're getting right now largely are players who have no eyes on the NBA. A couple weeks from now, there's going to be the players who entered the draft and maintain their eligibility who might be looking for a place to play. It's like, oh, you mean I could go to Arizona and play in that offense, play in the Big 12 and play on that stage, and then go to the NBA? All right. You know?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, Arizona's probably semi-hoping both KJ Lewis and Caleb Love come back. They are in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a power forward probably in that realm that if they don't get the grade they want, Arizona says, hey, come here, right?
Come here, like, see what we can do. Like, see what happened with Caleb Love, the stats he put, see what Keyshawn Johnson did. I'm not saying Keyshawn's going to the NBA, but, like, with his offensive numbers and his game expanded at Arizona, that here, and you're going to the NBA next year.
Or look at what, you know, let's take a moment to appreciate the thickness that is Umar Ballo, who came, you know, he's a Tommy Lloyd guy from Gonzaga, followed him here and got developed into a guy that may not be an NBA guy, but if the rumored numbers he got in NIL are a thing, go get that money, Umar.
Like, his bank account be thick.
Yeah, I was going to say it's two C's with the lines.
That's a lot of sense.
But that's the cents are not a big enough denomination.
I know what you're trying to go for there. Wasn't the number that someone was like 1.2 million was a suspected number? Like, wow, even if it's not that, but it's like a little south of that. Like, good job, Umar. Go get even that money.
Even if it's close to that. Like, yeah.
And he earned that money at Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Him, he was not getting that. He wasn't close to that when he transferred to Arizona, in even if the NIL existed then. Also, sidebar, I think Maraska's going to St. Mary's. He's going to crush it at that in the West Coast Conference, like where you're not playing against Big 12 type athletes and his skill set. I think he's going to. I'm just prepping Arizona fans to be dismayed over the fact that how did we let him get away? And like, he's a great player, but he's also playing in a place where his level of athleticism and skill set are going to really be maximized, I think. Mm-hmm. And like, he's going to look really good.
Well, I'm rooting for him. Like, unless they're playing Arizona, I'm rooting for him.
Oh, 100%. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the roster fills out. If Caleb Love comes back, that's a different thing. You know, if you're that probably impacts, is it Sanon? I don't know how to pronounce his name still. What are we supposed to do prep for this show, Adam?
I mean, I didn't learn how to pronounce it the last time we talked about him, and I haven't tried to learn since because I am dedicated.
You're nothing if not consistent, Adam.
You know what you're getting with me. I think consistency is key.
Mispronunciations and Simpsons references. That's what we get.
Wildcat Radio 2.0, part of the College Huddle Network.
We have a brand, and we're going to stick to it, damn it.
But that's just the way it is, right? It's Arizona men's basketball. They're going, as long as they're playing like they have good teams, you're going to be sending guys to the NBA. They're going to have guys who, like, you're not used to seeing Arizona players leave for bigger opportunities because there aren't many bigger opportunities than Arizona basketball, right? Like, there might be bigger NIL at some places, but generally speaking, the stage you have at Arizona, especially now moving to the Big 12, you're probably not going to find much of it, like a much brighter lights. Like, you're going to get noticed at Arizona. You're going to play in big games at Arizona. You're going to go to the NBA from Arizona if you're good enough. Like, so short of like the huge bag that Balo got from Indiana, and I think Balo was a case of like he maxed out what he could do like in Arizona's system. He maxed out who he was. So you go somewhere else, maybe in the Big Ten, different style of basketball, different level of player opponents, and you can be a different type of player, maybe show a different skill set than you have at Arizona. Not that I think the Arizona skill set doesn't help him, but, you know, why not? He has one more chance to try to show something else for the pros. Doing it somewhere else won't hurt him, right? Like, he maxed out what he could do at Arizona. But other than that, like, yeah, Arizona's in a good place. Like, if guys come back, if Caleb Love and KJ Lewis come back especially, then Arizona doesn't have as many holes. Like, yes, they're filling some of them with freshmen, but super talented freshmen. You know, Matt said it was, like, the most talented freshman class they've had in some time. Like, isn't that what people want, too? They didn't like Arizona recruiting guys who were projects. So here's like all these 4- and 5-star freshmen who they don't all come in ready to play 30 minutes, but if they can come in and play 10 to 12, you have something. And maybe one of them is like a Ben Mathurin from a couple years ago or a Two Bellas from a couple years ago. It's like, oh, these guys are more ready now than we thought. Nice.
Also, isn't this what I was saying a couple weeks ago, Adam, or whenever we last potted? I don't know about time anymore.
It doesn't mean anything.
This is really high-end freshman class. It's, you know, in the old days pre-NIL, this would be the roster you'd be excited about, right? Mm-hmm. Now with NIL,
oh, and the transfer portal, you're like, oh, I want established guys, but this is a really high level freshman class in basketball.
And that's what the nuance is, that college basketball, I think Jay Wright was during March Madness was saying that it's hard to build a freshman, you know, a freshman team in the new model, because it's talent finds a vacuum and there's money to pay them to go there, and it levels the playing field for a lot of guys. And also, you know, all those borderline NBA guys that would leave early before are going to stick around. Like, Arizona had guys like, I think of guys like Nick Johnson, that was like, well, he had nothing to prove at Arizona. It's either take your shot at the NBA or go overseas at the time. Now the overseas option in NIL is probably
sticks around another year.
Or beneficial to staking around, right? So it's just, it's a different, it's the, you know, the weird thing about the NIL world is that it actually probably is encouraging more guys to stick around for longer that are those borderline talents in both in both football and basketball, and it's not necessarily better or worse. It's just changing the game. And yeah. I think Arizona's roster, there's a good opportunity for them to be balanced in both regards, because you need to have a mix, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's an art to roster construction, and I think Tommy Lloyd generally gets it, and I'm optimistic to see how it plays out.
Yeah. So another coach, really quickly, not as much to talk about because they've been doing Adia Barnes in women's basketball. Like, it seems like we were saying, like, when we talked to people, like, I'm curious to see who they keep from the team that made that nice run at the end of the season. So far, pretty much everybody. Like, no one's leaving. They're like, okay, we like this. Bringing some transfer playing to Paris, Sonia Ja from South Carolina. The commitments, of course, I think they picked up, what did I say, Katarina, who's from the Serbian national team. And then...
There are so many things over consonants in that name. I am just laughing, trying to read it at him.
And then Miss Rolf, who's from the German, played on the German national team.
I believe that's Fraulein Rolf.
Anyway, I got to learn how to pronounce names. There's so many names. There's a college athletics. There's like names from all over, so many different sports. But I got to stick to my brand of like mediocrity or even subpar hosting. So
your pronunciation is mediocre, Adam.
What would I be if not like subpar at pronouncing names? Who would I be at that point? But it's really impressive to see that team, the way it's coming together. Obviously, you know, Adia Barnes has kind of figured out what she needs in terms of the type of player, and is going to get them for her team. I know we're going to get to baseball. You want to take a victory lap on baseball, but we're going to do that. Don't worry.
I like to be proven right.
Yeah, when it happens, sure. Arizona men's tennis won a share of their third straight Pac-12 regular season title, so that's good. You know, much appreciated for there. Softball's been playing pretty well, too. They swept ASU over the last weekend, so that's never a bad thing. You know, some walk-off stuff there. I'm cool with it. So, Brett. Oh, and also, the NFL draft is this week, so I'm really excited to see, you know, where someone like Jordan Morgan, Jacob Cowing, Tanner McLaughlin, and Michael Wiley gets picked. We're going to talk about all that next week, of course, where they go and what we think about that and what it could mean. So, Brett, without further ado, baseball's playing pretty well.
Yeah, so I think it was a month, 6 weeks ago, which means ones of podcasts ago.
Over under, bringing out like 2.5.
I'm pretty sure I was talking to you that I said that there's precious few sports in college where the beginning of the season team can develop into a totally different team by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And I said baseball, and I said if there's a coach that can get them there, I'm actually confident Chip Hale would be that guy. And I think in those ones of podcasts that we have done, I think they've lost one game
to GCU by 5-4 in a midweek game. So, the magic was gone, Brett. The magic was gone.
You know,
they went and swept Washington State the next three games. Yeah. So I think they're fine.
After that GCU game, I'm sure some of you,
the wheels fell off.
Some of you smart people were probably still quietly muttering under your breath, "Fire Chip." No, but I mean, I as much as I love to be right, I love even more for Arizona sports to be successful. So I was hopeful and optimistic, and I thought reasonable that Chip Hale would be able to get a lot out of this roster. And like, we talk a lot about how the nuance of college baseball and recruiting is just a different thing that's not that easy for the casual fan to really grasp. And it's such a unique, beautiful, imperfect college, like it's a pure mm-hmm. college sport in a lot of ways. But I will take my victory lap on Arizona success for the last couple weeks.
Oh, and that's fair. Obviously, you need to keep going. What's been nice is it's, you know, the pitching hasn't exactly fallen apart, but the bats have started to get going a little bit more. And that was
which look out, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the pitching stays good and the bats get going like we were expecting, then this is a team that's going to be very, very dangerous. It's college baseball, right? Like, if they can get into the postseason again this season, that'll speak so well of Chip Hale, especially with the way the season started. But if they can do it again with a roster that is, I don't know if it's entirely guys that he brought onto the team, but like very much like it's Chip Hale's team now.
Yeah.
And if he can get them to the postseason and maybe fare a little bit better than they did last year, and maybe get there even more comfortably than they did last year, right? They had to really rally at the end of the year. They snuck in. If they could just get there this year with a good team, then it'll speak very well to what Chip Hale is capable of doing, you know? Because then it starts to build that program. It's like, okay, they did not fall off a cliff when Jay Johnson left. You know, he's able to maintain a little bit with the players that Jay Johnson left behind and start to keep, you know, push forward again with his guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to root for Chip Hale. Like, you want him to succeed, never mind because he's coaching Arizona, because Chip Hale's a really good guy who cares deeply about the program and about the school. So if you're not rooting for him, there's something wrong with you. Whether you think he's the long-term answer, you know, I share some of those concerns and doubts. But right now, it's been a lot of fun to see what he's doing with that program and getting them to the level that we want them to be at, what we think they should be at. So, yeah, keep it going. Works for me.
Hot take, Adam. Keep winning, Arizona.
And that's probably about the way to end this show with that type of fire. We want everyone to, you know, be safe out there. Of course, obviously, you can find us on the Twitter machine at Wildcat Radio AZ. Wildcat Radio AZ happens to be a promo code for home field gear. If you have not made a home field order yet, well, you should. But do so with the promo code at Wildcat Radio AZ. You get 15% off that first order. So from home field, you can find a link, of course, on our Twitter bio if you're looking for that. But Wildcat Radio AZ is your promo code for your first order home field, 15% off. We are part of the College Huddle Network. A lot of fun being a part of that group, doing some pretty big things. I know we have shared some things from our social media, from the Wildcat Radio Twitter account. Just especially once football season starts up, Brett, that's going to be really fun in terms of the content and just stuff from all over the country. A lot of the new Big 12 rivals, looking forward to talking with some hosts from those areas to get an idea of who Arizona's new opponents are, because we don't know anything about most of them. So that'll be a lot of fun doing that. And you can find us on iTunes and on Spotify. Subscribe to us on both of those. If you're on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. If you leave a review, we will read that on the... I need to like reword that in my head because I can never say it like clearly. But we will read the review on the air. Brett, do we have any new reviews?
We do, Adam.
Oh, I hope it just happened from someone who's like somehow listening to this live, even though it's a podcast that's recorded, and they're just trashing you.
No, it's Jed Fish trying to recruit me to play left tackle right now.
Woof.
That's what the Huskies say when they're cheering. They say, woof. No, actually, I feel like this one, I'm not going to lie, Adam, it feels like our review from Big Saguaro 33 really gets our brand.
All right, let's hear it.
With the title of my favorite by far, so I'm feeling...
It's a good start,
Confident that it's going to be a positive one, which is... the confidence is supported by the fact that he gave us 5 stars.
Okay.
Big Saguaro 33 says, this has quickly become my favorite Wildcats podcast. Truthful and realistic analysis with a couple jokes in between. Keep up the great work. Bear down. I think that's our brand, Adam.
That pretty much is, I think. Like, on our good days, anyway. When we're at our best, that's who we are. Appreciate that, though.
When we're at our worst, it's basically the same.
Yeah, it's just like the jokes are more abundant and worse, and the analysis is just mid, as the kids say.
I mean, it's all mid when we're at our worst, I would say.
Yeah, pretty much. We're at our worst, we're probably still tolerable, but we're not enjoyable.
That sounds right.
I think that's our range. Well, thanks for listening, obviously, and of course, thanks for that review. Whether it's good or bad, we like the good ones. Those are more fun, but obviously if you have a bad review, if you have some critiques or criticism, especially for Brett calling y'all dummies, then we will read those on the air too. Like, we're whatever you write.
I am nourished by your hatred.
I was kind of waiting for it to be like, you know, 5 stars, my favorite Arizona podcast, and it's like totally trashes us after that. Just like like, oh no, that took a turn.
Don't give our listeners like, good ideas.
My favorite Arizona podcast to not listen to.
For me to poop on.
But yeah, leave us a rating and a review. We'll read it on the air. But yeah, Brett, more transfer portal news, NFL draft, whatever happens with the recruiting and all that, we will talk about on next week. Should be a fun week and weekend. So yeah, looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week. We'll talk about it on our next show. I should be honest.
Probably next week. It's probably my fault if it's not. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, most likely it'll be next week, and most likely if it doesn't happen, it is Brett's fault. Either way, we'll talk about it on our next show. Thank you for listening. Thanks again to Matt Moreno, And until next show, remember to bear down.
Bear down.